This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good. Good night, Shabbos, Rabbi. This Friday show is going to be on maybe five, discrepancies that we find in this week's parasha, different than other parashiyos in the Torah. But I do want to begin with a light comment, and I spoke this out this week, but l'kavod d'shir, I want to mention it again. We know that the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Lamed that the Chachamim, when they would start their shir, they would start with Milsa d'vdichusa. With a light matter, it opens up the heart and helps you understand difficult subjects. So Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Huberman, he was a great Mekubal, the Tzaddik of Ranana, he says that this is alluded to in the opening pasuk of the parsha. We know Chazal tell us, Ein v'haya el aloshon simcha. The word v'haya is a lashon of simcha. So he says like this, v'haya. You have to start with simcha. You have to say a good joke. When? Eikev, koidam aisek batayra. Before you learn Taira. And if you do that, tishma'un, you'll understand. Eis ha-mishpatim ha'ela. Even these difficult laws of monetary matters, you'll understand because it will open up your mind, it will open up your heart. So again, v'haya. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. If you have a little simcha, eikev, koidem, esek, batoira, tishme'un, then you'll understand, eis ha-mishpatim ha'ela. Okay, so on that note, I want to point out a number of interesting discrepancies in the parsha. Let's start with as follows. Let us start with the subject of shoes. Take a look in Parak Ches Pasuk Dalet. Simla Sicha Aloi Valsamei Agrat Glecha. Your clothing did not wear out from upon you. Viraglecha Aloi Vatseka. And your feet did not swell. Now, why would the feet of the Jewish people have swelled? Says Rashi. Leinavcha Kabatseik. Your feet didn't swell like dough. Kedar Cholche Yachaf. Like people who ordinarily walk barefoot. Sheragleim Nefuchais. That their feet would typically swell. So God says, even though you walked barefoot, your feet did not swell. So, there's a very, there's a question on this. And this question is raised by a number of the Mefarshim. One of them being the Taz, the Divrei David. And that is, the Taz wants to know, that if you look at the end of Kisavai, please take a look at Parak Chavtes, Pasuk Dalid. There it says, God says, I did you a favor that your shoes did not wear out. The Pasuk says, and your shoes didn't wear out. What do you mean your shoes? Rashi, in this week's Parsha, says they went barefoot in the Midbar. If they went barefoot, certainly their shoes didn't well. They weren't wearing shoes. So was it that they walked barefoot and their feet didn't swell, like it says in this week's parasha? Or is it that they wore shoes and their shoes did not wear out, like it says at the end of Kisavai? This is the question of the Taz. So the Taz answers, they had shoes. And the Anani HaKavod was like a shoemaker and always kept their shoes in good condition. But it's not possible that they would step on the Anani HaKavod in their shoes. That's a bizoyon. So the Taz says you have to say that their shoes did not have a sole. And it was leather that went up to their knees. And that leather part was always laundered by the Anani HaKavod. So Vinalcha, the part that was like socks, was like a clothing, that was Neloi Balsa Me'al Raglecha, from the top part of your foot. But the bottom, which was sort of like barefoot because there was no sole, so as not to step on the Anani HaKavod, that, so now your feet should have swelled because you didn't have, you know, a rubber bottom. So to that, raglecha loy batseika, your feet didn't swell. So in other words, the Taz learns they wore shoes. So then, why is it necessary to say their feet didn't swell? Because the shoes did not have a sole. Because they didn't want to step on the Anani HaKavod. So therefore, their feet didn't swell. And what does it mean the shoes didn't wear out? The top part. That's the answer of the Taz. I always like to answer as follows, and I think the Karban Nesanel may say something to this effect in Masechta Moed Katan. And that is, the Gemara Moed Katan, if you remember, discusses the status of an Avel and a Metzora and someone who is in Cherem. And the Gemara says, what's an example of someone in Cherem? The Jews in the Midbar for 40 years were in Cherem because of the Cheder of the Meraglim. And the Gemara there says that when someone is in Cherem, they're not allowed to wear shoes. However, if they have to travel, while they're traveling, they could wear the shoe. And once they get to the destination and they're home, then they have to remove their shoes. They're not allowed to wear shoes anymore if they're not actually traveling on the road. So that comes out according to that Gemara, the Jewish people did wear shoes in the Midbar when they traveled, but when they got home, they took it off. So I like to say like this. The pasuk in this week's parsha, that their feet didn't swell, that's talking about that when they had to take off their shoes, when they got to their destination and then had to walk, maybe to get the mun, or from house to house, or just walk around the neighborhood, they were not wearing shoes, and that's the pasuk in Akev, that their feet did not swell. But the pasuk in Kisavai, that their shoes did not wear out, is talking about when they traveled, that they would actually put their shoes on. Okay, Marv Raboisai, that is offering number one. Offering number two. The Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Avas Chesed points out that there are three psukim in this week's parsha that seem to contradict each other. We come to the beginning of Ekev, Parag Ches, Pasuk Vav. You ready? Visha Amarta Es Mitzvais Adinai Lehecha Laleches Bidrachav Uliyira Isai, to walk in the ways of God and to fear Him. Here we encounter walking in the ways of God precedes fearing Him. We move on a little further. Dvarim Yud, Yud Beis. Dvarim Yud, Yud Beis. There the pasuk says, V'yata Yisrael ma'adayin elayhecha shayel me'imach ki'im li'ira esalayin elayhecha lalechas b'chol drachav u'lihava oisai v'la'avayin esalayin elayhecha b'chol leva b'chol v'chol nafshecha. So here we have, fear God, go in His ways, love God. Wait a second, earlier going in the ways of Hashem preceded fear, now we have fear, go in the ways of God, love. Then you encounter Perek Yod Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, where the Pasuk says, Ki im shamar tishmirun es kol ha-mitzvah hazois asher anoichi mitzaveschem la'asoisach le'ahavos adonai Eloheichem la'leches v'chol d'rachav l'dav kavoi. There we have love God, go in His ways, cling to Him. So it's not a prerequisite to love, it's love, go in His ways, cling. So it's very interesting. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, go in God's ways, fear Him. In the middle of the parasha, it says, fear God, go in His ways, love Him. And then at the end of the parasha, it says, love God, go in His ways, cling to Him. Says the Chafetz Chaim, first we have to understand what these midos are. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to love God? And what does it mean to cling to God? Fear God is pashut, to be aware of His presence and afraid to violate His will. Loving God means that at times you have a feeling of love to Hashem. Doesn't mean always, but that inspiration could come. But it's not consistent. Devekus means that you're always connected to love of Hashem. Says the Chafetz Chaim, one may mistakenly think that yes, chesed is very important. It's very important to lend my friend money, or to let him use my oven, or to help him change a tire. But that's if I'm on a low level. Let's say I'm not yet holding in Yiras Hashem. So I'm going to go in the ways of God, which are chesed, and it will help be a prerequisite to fear of God. But if I'm trying to scale the heavens and trying to reach the Madriga of Ahava, then to spend time talking to someone to make them feel better and calm them and so forth, and to do chesed, maybe I need to be more secluded and be studying and learning and to myself, and I don't need to do as much chesed anymore. No, not only does chesed bring you to fear of God, but even once you've already feared God and you want to get to love of Hashem, you also need laleches b'chol derachav. So you might think, okay, but that's not such a high level. But if I'm trying to reach the highest madrega of dveikus, which means I'm always clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with ahava, and that feeling never dissipates, and never I'm never distracted, so maybe then I'm sort of exempt from chesed, and I need to be in my I need to be secluded and without focusing on other people. No, even then you want to get to the highest level of dveikus. It's li ahava. Laleches b'chol derachav ledavka, meaning chesed, laleches b'chol derachav is the key ingredient to get to every madrega, be it yira, as we see in the beginning of the parsha, be it ahava, as we see in the middle of the parsha, be it dveikos, as we see at the end of the parsha. Next offering. We come to Kriya Shema, and in Perek Yod Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'Hayayim Shamaya Tishma Mitzvah Nozel Avazim Laikich Lavdoi B'Chol Avavchem U'V'Chol Nafshechem. Serve God with all your heart and all your soul. Mar Rabbi say the question Rashi is bothered by is, what do you mean with all your heart and all your soul? We already said that in last week's parsha. What did we say in last week's parsha? So we already know you need to love God with all your heart and all your soul.
But this is plural. The other
words. So Rashi says earlier it was a command to the individual, and now this is a command to the tzibur, that there's an obligation on the tzibur to love God with all their heart and with all their soul. Well, the question is, why doesn't it say, with all your money, uvechol ma'oideichem? Bechlal, why does it
say...
Well, I'm only answering the questions I asked, though. What?
If it says, uvechol ma'oideichem, on the individual.
Yeah.
And ipso facto, if everybody does that, then the tzibur... Well, why do you have to say the tzibur? You have it on the individual, you have to have the tzibur.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have the individuals, you can't get to the tzibur.
So, right, but you, on the other hand, it's not enough for everybody to serve God individually. There's also an obligation to collectively serve Hashem. To serve Hashem...
That comes by individual. You can't have collective without the individuals. You have the individuals, you have the collective.
Well, let's say like now, during COVID, everyone was in their own house. So we had b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, but we don't have b'chol levavchem because we weren't together. We weren't davening b'tzibur. We weren't doing something as a community. So there's individual obligation and communal obligation. But why, when it comes to community, is it does not say b'chol me'oideichem? So the Sifsei Chachamim is bothered by this question, and he quotes the Trumas Hadeshen, the Mahari, who says something that perhaps we're all familiar with, and that is b'chlal, once we have a guy who's willing to give up his life for God, why does it have to say, serve God with all your money? And Rashi famously says that there are mishugayim out there that are happy to give up their life for God, but would not touch their bank account for God. There are many crazy people out there that their money is more dear to them than their life. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, yes, you'll have mishugayim out there who their money is more dear than their life, but only individuals. As a tzibur, you're not going to have a tzibur like that. So that's why when it comes to the yachid, it's b'chol levavchem nafshecha. U'v'chol me'oideichem, when it comes to the rabbim, it's b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshecha. It doesn't say u'v'chol me'oideichem. Now I'm going to share with you a question we asked in the Tomer Devora, but for those who don't have a chance, I'm going to share with you the question of the Avnei Nezer, Perek Yod, Pasuk Tezayin. And that is, U'maltem es arlas levavchem. You should circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. So the obligation devolves on the person to circumcise their own hearts, while in Parshas Nitzavim it says, U'mal Hashem aleikecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha. So So based on the Rashi, I would offer a new answer. Because again, the question is that who has to circumcise the heart? In this week's parasha, it says, you have to do it. In Parashas Nitzavim, it says, God will do it. So, can we answer that this week's parasha is talking to the tzibur? Umaltem es arlas avchem v'arpechem. As a tzibur, you got to do it yourself. But individually, God could do it to an individual. You know, we would have to explain, why would that be? Why, when it comes to an individual, do we need God to do it, and when it comes to the tzibur, the Ribbono Shel Olam could do it? However, the Shem Yishmuel says as follows. The Shem Yishmuel quotes the Gemara Brachas and Daf Samach Aleph, the Yitzhahara is like a fly that sits between the two openings of the heart. From here we learn the heart has two openings. One opening is to be mekabel the instruction of the seichel. The other is to be mekabel the feelings of midos and hislavos of kedusha. The Yitzhahara sits between these two openings. He fights the seichel. He fights the feelings of kedusha. And a person has free choice to go whichever way he wants. So when a person sins, he sort of coats and covers up his heart, and he allows the heart to be coated, and he does not allow the Yetzer Tov to be activated. On the other hand, you have the Yetzer Hara, which is sort of external, which is seated on the left side of the heart. So on the right side of the heart is the Yetzer HaTov, and one could coat the Yetzer HaTov with all kinds of coatings of sin. On the other hand, on the left side of the heart sits the Yetzer Hara. So in this week's parasha, when it says that you should circumcise your own heart, that means remove the blockages that you have inflicted upon yourself by indulging in sin. On the other hand, the psukim in Parashas Nitzavim, it's not talking about the Arla. Right over here it says, in our parasha it says, Amaltem es Arla Savavchem. Circumcise the coat of your heart. That is a self-inflicted mum. That is inflicted through the sins that we commit. In part, and that is something we need to remove. But the actual essential Yetzer Hara, which is we're born with, that's not an Arla. He's just there. That's the heart itself. So that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do Amal Hashem es levavcha v'yes levav zarecha. Okay, Marv Raboisai, last offering of the day. In Parshas Truma, the pasuk says, "Ve'asu aroin atzei shitim," plural. You should make the aroin, plural. And the Ramban in Parshas Truma wants to know, why is it that there's a plural command to make the aroin? By all the other kelim, it says, "Va'asei," or "Ve'asisa." Why by the aroin is it a command in the plural? So the Ramban says, because the aroin represents Torah, and this is representative that every Jew needs to have a chelek in Torah. The Torah belongs to everyone. It's Mayra Shaki Hilas Yaakov. So the question on that would be, if the Aron represents Torah, and therefore it says V'yasu and Lashon Rabim, why in the very next pasuk in Truma does it say V'tzipisa Oisai Zahav Tahar? You should code it. It should say V'tzipui. You, plural, should code it. After all, when it comes to the Aron, everyone needs to have a chelak. Another question. In Parshas Vayakel, it talks about the tabois of the Arayin. It says like this, Vayaveyes habadim ha-tabois al-tzalois ha-arayin. La-seises ha-arayin. They put the badim in the tabois to carry the Arayin. They put the badim to carry the Arayin. That's not what you have badim for. The badim are not to carry the aroin, because the aroin was noiseyes noisav. The tabot, you don't put the badim in the aroin to carry them, because are you allowed to take the poles out of the aroin when the aroin is not being transported? No. So if you're not allowed to, that means the poles are not to carry it, because you're not allowed to take them out when you're not carrying it. So why does the Pasuk in Vayakel say the purpose of the Badim is to carry the Aron? If you look in Pekudei, it says, Vayasem es ha-Badim al Aron, Perek Mem Pasuk Chav, Vayitin es Gevaros al Aron, Mamola, it doesn't say the purpose of the Badim is to carry. So why in Vayakel does it give us a false purpose of the Badim? Furthermore, if in Vayakel, Bezalel put the Badim in the Tabois, how could Moshe put the Badim in again in Pekudei? Who took them out and violated the command of not removing the Badim? So you say, Gladstein, what does this have to do with Parshas Ekev? Take a look in Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. So Moshe was told, take the luchos and put them in an aron. What was the aron made out of, friends? It says in this week's parsha, the Aron was an Aron Eitz. Huh? I thought the Aron was gold. What in the world is Moshe doing?
The Aron itself was Eitz, but Tzipisa was Avtar.
Okay, so why is not that coating not mentioned here? What happened to the Vitzipisa Isam? So I'm going to tell you something that I once heard from Rabbi Yonason Avner Zaks, and then something that he said over from Rabbi Asher Weiss. And he said as follows. The purpose of the Aroin was it should be Aroin Ho'edos, to house the Luchais. If there are no Luchais in it, it's not an Aroin. In Parashas Vayakel, they didn't put the Luchais in yet. So they didn't put in the Luchais, then it's not an Aroin. If it's not an Aroin, you could take out the Badim. If so, why do you need the Badim? The answer is to carry. In Vayakel, Takel, the purpose of the Badim was to carry. And you were allowed to remove them because the only purpose was to carry. Why were you allowed to remove them? Because it's not an Aroin yet, it's just a box. But once they put in the Luchais, in Parshas Pekudei, now it's an Aroin. Once it's an Aroin, the purpose of the Badim is not to carry, it's just that it should be there. So now let's add one more Chiddush, says Hagoyin Rav Asher Weiss. So then it's Mestaber that the Aroin served two purposes. Number one, it housed the Torah. And number two, it's one of the Klei HaMishkan. Can we say that the Aroin had two parts to it, and each one served a different function? One part of the Aroin served to house the Torah, and one part of the Aroin was the Klei HaMikdash. In all probability, it was the gold boxes that served the function as a Klei HaMikdash, and in all probability, it was the wooden box that housed the Torah. How do we know it was the wooden box that housed the Torah? That's what I learned in Parshas Ekev, when Moshe came down with the Lucha Shnias. God didn't say make a gold box, because you don't need a gold box to bring down the Torah from Har Sinai to the Mishkan. For the Torah, you just need a wood box. For the Mishkan, you need a gold box. So it comes out very beautiful. The box that is made in this week's Parsha, which sole function was to house the Luchais before it went into the Mishkan, was Va'asisa Lucha Aroin Eitz. But the inner Aroin, the outer one, was gold. And that was the commonality it had with the other Kalim. Oh, now I understand the Pasuk and Shruma. The plural command, V'asu Aroin, everyone needs to make an Aroin. What Pasuk was that? Which Aroin does everyone need to have a chelek in? V'asu Aroin Atzei Shitim. Everyone needs to have a chelek in the Aron of Atzei Shittim, because that Aron represents the Torah. And when it comes to Torah, everyone has to have a chelek in it. But the golden coat was not the part of the Aron that housed the Torah. That was the part of the Aron which was a Klei HaMikdash. Regarding that part, it's the Tzipisa Isai. All that is needed is an individual contribution. It doesn't have to be Rabin, because that part of the Aron is only the aspect of it that it makes it a Klei HaMishkan. And therefore, that for that, it suffices to have a Lashon Yachid. But the Lashon Rabin is Dafka going on the Atzei Shittim, as indicated in this week's parasha, that the function of the Atzei Shittim was to house the Torah. Okay, Rabbeisai, so these are five discrepancies in Parshas Ekev. Number one, V'na'alcha V'raglecha loy batzeika, stiro tekisavai. Number two, it doesn't say B'chol ma'oidechem. Number three, L'aleches B'chol derachem. In the beginning, it's a preface to Yira. In the middle, it's a preface to Ava. In the end, it's a preface to Deveikos. Number four, here it says, Umaltem es arlas levavchem, you have to do it, and in Nitzavim it says, Hashem will do it. Reb Nosson showed me, and my friend also, Reb Yossi, sent me yesterday, the Nesiv Hashem on Nitzavim also deals with that question. And finally, number five, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu only made a wooden aroin indicates perhaps that it was the wooden aroin that served the function of housing the Torah, and it was the gold that rendered it a clay hamishkan. Okay, Rabbeisai, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Bez Hashem, there'll be Eon Shir Sunday morning, 10:45. Stay tuned. And until then, have a great Shabbos. Sure.
Yeah. Madriga,
you've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.